Welcome to Innovation Alberta, a celebration of science, research, and the inventive spirit. I'm Cheryl Croucher. The Alberta Research Council and Genix Incorporated have developed a new preservative for oriented strandboard. This will greatly extend the international market for Alberta's OSB manufacturers. And if you've got a good business idea you've been toying with, here's your chance to take it off the back burner and win some money at the same time. Jay Chrysler and Dr. Lloyd Steyer give some insight into what you'll get out of the new province-wide VenturePrize Business Plan competition. These stories coming up in the next half hour on Innovation Alberta. A new preservative to prevent damage from insects and mold in oriented strandboard is ready to hit the American market and will soon be available in Canada too. The product is called Cobra Crush. It's environment and human friendly, and it was developed by an Alberta company, Genix Incorporated, with some help from the Alberta Research Council. Wesley Wall is the Vice President of Product Development with Genix.
Cobra Crush is a combination of copper and boron that's melted in a furnace at a high temperature, and then it's crushed into a very small micron-sized beads of glass, and that glass product is what we're hoping to market to the oriented strandboard industry for producing panels.
Now, how would it be used in oriented strandboard?
Cobra Crush is going to be a value-added preservative product that can be incorporated right at the mill for protection or protecting the OSB from insects, decay, and mold.
What's the concern with mold?
Mold's becoming more and more of a concern in the home construction industry or even commercial buildings where you have moisture ingress or leaks from water and you end up getting damage to the wood products and mold starts to grow on it. There is a health concern that's perceived by the population, by the general public, and so we've done a tremendous amount of research to prove that the Cobra Crush product itself will control mold in wood products or anything that's made from cellulose. What we're trying to do, though, is really make the OSB product even better than it is today so we can reach more markets in an export environment, i.e. the deep southern U.S., New Orleans, Louisiana, and even over into Japan and China, or other tropical climates where typically OSB would find a harder fit there because of the insect problem. All wood products have that issue in those countries as well.
Now, this is actually building on another product that you have. What's that?
The original version of our product was called Cobra Rod, and it was taking the same copper borate formulation and melting it, putting it together in a rod form, similar to a piece of chalk. For all of us that are older, we know what chalk was like in a schoolroom. That chalk length rod, it's a green color, was inserted inside of a utility pole. So we developed this technology in the utility industry. We have roughly 100 utility companies in North America now that use this technology to extend the life of their power poles. And it does a very effective job. How it works is the glass material, when it gets wetted up from moisture that's naturally in wood at the ground line in these utility poles, it dissolves and it moves with the water. Wherever the water goes in the wood, the product goes along with the water and thereby sets up a nice chemical regime to stop decay.
Where did the idea for this come from?
A tremendous amount of research was done by our company in the late 80s and early 90s. And while I was going to the university, I had some very helpful professors that steered us in certain directions. So over time, a lot of research went on. We did connect with a Danish engineer in Denmark that also helped us with the melting process to develop our product today.
So this is something that your company actually holds the patent on? You invented it?
Yes. We contracted the Alberta Research Council in our early days to develop this product and develop the whole process for making it with the understanding that our company could patent the technology, which we did. We now hold over 7 patents on different variations of the Cobra Crush copper borate technology.
In the past, there's been a fair bit of concern over the environmental and health aspects from other treated woods. How are you dealing with that with your product?
The two components that we use, copper and boron, are in a mineral form. You can actually find those two fractions in fertilizer today. So when the material finally leaches out of a utility pole, for example, and it will over time. Nothing lasts forever, even nuclear waste doesn't. You'll find that the copper and boron become background levels of fertilizer for the surrounding vegetation. So very safe from an environmental standpoint. We had to do a tremendous number of tests to prove to Health Canada before they would grant us a label that would allow us to sell a product to an OSB producer or any other wood composite producer. We had to prove to them that it wouldn't cause cancer, that it wouldn't cause skin irritation, that it wouldn't cause inhalation issues, that it wouldn't be an allergen. We have no volatile organic compounds in our mix, so there is no odor to our chemical at all. So it's a wonderful chemical from that standpoint. It has a lot of health and safety built into it for use in a home construction. And by the way, it is the only preservative in Canada. It and boron alone are the only ones in Canada that are approved for use indoors. Everything else has to be used outdoors. Ours is the only formulation that you can actually use indoor as well as outdoor.
What sort of problems did you have to overcome in the development of this?
Some of the issues in the early days were trying to get our melting process perfected, and that took some time. And that's where we had the Research Council heavily involved in the project with us. A lot of the other hurdles have been meeting the regulatory regime's requirements. That's been our biggest hurdle to overcome. It takes a tremendous amount of money and a tremendous amount of time, and time's probably the bigger killer. Because you'd like to get to market so you can start to recover some of the cash you've invested, but it's very difficult to get to market until you have an approved label from Health Canada.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That was Wesley Wall, Vice President of Product Development with Genics Incorporated. The Alberta Research Council played an important role in helping Genics develop Cobra Crush into a viable preservative for the use in manufacturing-oriented strand board. Rob Wellwood heads the Forest Products Business Unit at the Alberta Research Council.
Well, there have been a couple of business units work on this project. At first, it was the development of the Cobra Rod product. My business unit looked at taking that product and incorporating the material into panel products.
What is it about the panel products or the oriented strand board that lends it to needing this sort of a product?
Well, with a composite product, one of the advantages that you have is that you start out with small pieces and you engineer the final product from those pieces. So you can take a material that's very insoluble and mix it through either with the resin or the wax or separately and end up with an insoluble material distributed throughout your product to give it special properties like termite resistance, fungal resistance, mold resistance, fire retardancy, that sort of thing.
What kinds of things did you have to do? What kind of testing did you do?
In this project with Genics, we had two main concerns. One was how can we most effectively distribute the material throughout the product and work that into their process? And the more important one, I think, was what's the effect on the other properties? Properties like bending stiffness and strength, thickness, swell, water absorption. So you can't improve something like fungal and mold resistance and at the same time deteriorate your physical properties. So a lot of the work that we did, and this was over a couple of years, was looking in those two areas.
So is that something that can be really tricky if you sprinkle this stuff through or however it is that it goes into the system? Does it really make that much difference?
Anything that you add in has the potential to interfere with the chemical curing process of the resins that are used. And there's a great variety of resins used by the manufacturers, so you have to test each one of them because you don't want any surprises when you go out to the mill. And there's the possibility of huge strength reductions by adding things in. Some of the other studies that we've done, adding as little as 1% of a chemical into the board can reduce your strength properties by 50%, which is quite noticeable.
The Alberta Research Council has been quite involved over the years in the development of oriented strand board. How does this new product and this concern over mold, how does that fit into the overall history and, I guess, the quality of the oriented strand board?
From a research point of view, what I find really exciting about products like this is it opens new markets. And the big thing with any of the commodity producers right now is how can we get out of the commodity rat race and get into specialty products? And materials like this give you one more way to get out of commodity and into specialty products. So there is a market in the commodity area, but from a research point of view, it opens up possibilities for other products, and that takes lots of research.
You mentioned that specialty markets, that this is new product will help in that area. Where does Alberta stand then in terms of the overall world market for oriented strand board?
From Alberta, we ship OSB around the world. I've seen Canadian OSB in China, in Europe, all over the place. They have different requirements in their building codes and in special applications in those countries. So there are areas where termite resistance is a requirement. There are areas where they design their wall cavities in such a way that the temperature and humidity is suitable for fungal and mold growth. And in those areas, a product like Genix just opens the door to the OSB producers.
Thank you very much, Rob.
You're welcome.
That was Rob Wellwood, head of the Forest Products Business Unit at the Alberta Research Council. I also spoke with Wesley Wall of Genix Incorporated, the maker of Cobra Crush. It's time once again for the VenturePrize Business Plan Competition. It starts on October 26th, and if you enter, you'll have a chance at winning some of the $170,000 in prizes. What's great news this year is that VenturePrize is stepping beyond Edmonton city limits and is being offered to the entire province. Jay Chrysler is the manager of VenturePrize with Tech Edmonton.
VenturePrize is a business plan competition. It's been running approximately 3 years in the greater Edmonton area, and it's basically trying to get firms to get their fast growth business ideas on paper and start them off, or in many cases we found over the last few years a number of firms out there trying to raise venture capital, and it's been a good stepping stone for that.
This year, VenturePrize is going province-wide. Why is that?
Well, we did some research last year and looked at a number of sustainable business plan competitions in North America and in Europe. And what we found was that to be sustainable, you need a population base of between 3.5 and 4 million people to keep everything fresh and alive and be able to get new people into the contests. And so it looked like it was the opportunity that we are going to take in business plans from anybody in the province this year rather than just Greater Edmonton.
What kind of businesses are you looking at? Because in the past, VenturePrize winners have been involved in new technology or new medical sorts of things. What are you looking for? Are there any limitations?
The first prize category is pretty much the same as the last 3 years, where it's looking at high growth type of idea. It can be a new business, it can be an existing business. Like you say, generally many of them have been related to high technology and have had some patents or patent pending, this type of thing, and are looking actually for venture capital. So that top category is still there, but this year we have added a second category, which we call the Entrepreneurial Kickstart Award category, and it's for a lesser amount of money. We've got about $10,000 as a first prize. There's $7,000 of that in cash, $3,000 in kind, and that will be for new businesses that are going to start by September of 2007, or existing businesses that are not older than 3 years old that have sort of an innovative opportunity to pursue. And we're hoping that that will give people then, even with the smaller types of probably almost in a pre-start position, some chance of participating in the awards.
Why is it important to have a business plan? What is the point of this?
Well, I think in this day and age, it's important for anybody that's planning to start a business or, in fact, drive a business forward. For a startup business, the business plan is important because it is the first document that you can put together that can give you some confidence that you're on the right track. Old Chinese proverb is never run down the wrong road. What VenturePrize tries to do is we try and get people to look at their ideas and start working toward accomplishing them. And so even in the past, this 80% that in fact didn't start businesses immediately, they start thinking about it. And because the path from entrepreneurship to becoming a very successful business owner has its ups and downs. And this really VenturePrize is there just to try and encourage these people to start taking a few steps so that they can gain confidence in what they want to do and bring it into reality.
One of the things that's involved in the competition, when it gets down to the point where you've got the semifinalists and the finalists, they have to make these presentations, these one-minute presentations. Why that?
The one-minute elevator pitch has sort of come through the universities, their competitions and things where they do these elevator pitches. The one university down there in the States, it actually is an elevator pitch. They get on at the bottom of the ground floor of a building, and I don't know, it's a 40-story building or something, and you basically make your pitches, and it's over when you get to the top floor. And that's kind of how the elevator pitch came about. But you need to get across your message and your business opportunity in a very short time. You need to be that focused. And so basically, our participants, once they get into that semifinal stage, they have the opportunity to give a 15 to 20-minute presentation with the judges. But then the last thing is basically to see if they can stand up and do 60 seconds in front of 1,000 business people and make sense.
With all your years of experience in helping people, training people about businesses and entrepreneurship, why do you like this?
Well, one of the VenturePrize has a number of goals, and one of the goals that VenturePrize has is to try and develop an entrepreneurial culture. So what we're doing really is a practical application of helping to diversify the Alberta economy. And so in a micro sense, it's good for the businesses that participate. It's a win-win. They get stuff out of it. But we have 20 great corporate sponsors. We've had great support from government. Of course, Tech Edmonton is a joint venture between the University of Alberta and Edmonton Economic Development Corporation. And so it is, I think we are accomplishing a lot of things. One is we're raising the profile of entrepreneurship within the community, and we're getting people involved because we are going to need those innovative ideas to come out. And the more we can encourage that, the better off we're going to be and the better standard of living that we're going to have here in Alberta.
Thank you very much, Jay.
Thank you.
That was Jay Kreisler, manager of the VenturePrize Business Plan Competition with Tech Edmonton. VenturePrize begins on October 26th with a series of 6 weekly lectures. These lay the foundation for all the different factors entrepreneurs need to consider when developing a good business plan. And they will be teleconferenced across the province. The man leading those seminars is Dr. Lloyd Steyer. Lloyd is a professor in strategic management organization at the University of Alberta's School of Business. And he has an extensive research background in entrepreneurship and family enterprise.
A business plan provides a person with a sort of a roadmap for moving forward, and it requires them to say, well, you know, what refine their idea, you know, what is my idea, and is it unique? Will people buy this idea? And there's a lot of clever ideas, but you have to ask, does a market exist? And that's a critical question. And then there's other things that need to be considered, like production, marketing, finance. So business planning provides people with the framework for asking some critical questions. And of course, it's very important to do a business plan before you, it's very valuable to do a business plan before you embark on the business, because you know you might not foresee certain things. I mean, it's very similar to doing other things. Like I can use an analogy of building a house. You wouldn't just start building without having some plan in advance. I mean, certainly you see some things that where people made mistakes. The more planning you do up front, typically you alleviate some of the problems down the road. That's one of the things that business planning seminars provide. But there's another category of individuals that may already have been working on a business plan for a number of years, or even may have an up and running business. And I think there's a huge strategy component to the business planning seminars, where a person might say, you know, and clearly this happens all of the time, people come in with a business plan, and as a result of taking the seminars, they're saying, I never thought of this market, or I never thought maybe I can get some production done more efficiently somewhere else, and refine my production modes, or maybe I need to think about my financing in different ways. Now, I started this business, and I've already given half to this person who's financing, and I've given half to this other partner. If I intend to go to IPO or venture capitalists, how attractive will I be if I keep, given my ownership structure? And so they're forced to think about things, about strategic issues in sometimes ways that they haven't thought of before. Now, it's not just, and business planning also isn't just there's a knowledge component, but there's also other components that are very valuable. There's a networking connection component in terms of people because of the way business planning, the business planning seminars are constructed, and the other things that are wrapped into this whole Tech Edmonton initiative, is that people are linked up with mentors, they're linked up with potential investors, and so on. So people access resources, network resources that they wouldn't be able to access on their own. The other thing that I think is very valuable for the business planning seminars is there's a social reinforcement. And what you've discovered, I think, talking to some of the Venture Prize winners, is it's entrepreneurship is a long, hard pull. It's in the years that I've been interviewing successful businesses, some get rich fairly quick, but the reality is most of them that are successful will tell you stories of having worked very hard for long periods of time, taking risk, and so on. So the payoff comes a little bit later than most people would assume, but there's a period there where you have to have believe in yourself, you have support from family, and so on, and I think VenturePrize provides that all important social reinforcement or an emotional support that entrepreneurs need for that long, lonely road of starting a firm.
Briefly, what topics are you going to be covering in this series?
Well, in the series, we've purposely designed a series to cover some major topics commonly associated with business planning. So, when we devised the first course, we had the topics were revised from courses that we might do at the MBA level or executive MBA in new venture creation organization. Overall, in the seminar series, we give an overview of the basic elements of a business plan and how they hang together, and hopefully we do more than that in terms of we help people tune their strategy, make connections, and think about their business in new and unique ways.
For the literally hundreds of people who have been through these seminars over the last 3 years, what stands out for you as the major mistakes that people make when they first look at business planning?
The major mistakes that people would make in terms of with business planning and getting into business is they sometimes have unrealistic expectations. The basics of business are you have to have more money coming in than going out. And so people are often overly optimistic, and so they're underfinanced in terms of they have a viable business idea, but instead of taking 5 months to generate cash flow, it takes a year, and there's that 7 month period where there's no income, and that's where they get hurt. And I've seen great businesses shut down by venture capitalists simply because they underestimated how long it would take to positive cash flow. So that's one of the biggest things. Sometimes people get involved in businesses that they're sort of interested in, but they don't know the business as well as they should. I mean, there's a concept called liabilities of newness, and if people are starting they have no experience in the industry. They don't know the market. It's a new product that people haven't heard of, and so on. The more I often use examples of juggling balls. The more balls you put in the air, the greater the chances of you dropping a ball. In business, sometimes people are doing too many new things at the same time, and that can lead to failure.
You spend a lot of your time doing research on family business.
Yes.
What role, then, does family play in the success of a new business, a new venture, and what advice would you have about family for people who are heading into the Venture Prize competition? Yeah.
Family is so incredibly important in terms of starting a venture, and sometimes the popular press often celebrates entrepreneurship as this individual action. So, there's a script or a narrative, that, and even entrepreneurs will tell that story. My own research, and I've interviewed thousands of firms, is, you know, when you initially start to interview, they'll say, well, tell me about your firm, and there's this... It's almost this Frank Sinatra song approach. I know I did it my way, and I was this individual. But that's what we tend to celebrate, particularly in North America. You know, in terms of this lone wolf, and even within our culture, the superstar or the action hero. It's one, individual defying all these odds, and we really do celebrate individual action. Of course, that's tied into entrepreneurship. I don't want to minimize that. But when we look a little deeper, we see that an entrepreneur gets resources, at least initially, from those closest to them. It's not at the startup when you're unproven or your concept's unproven. Typically, it's family and friends that make the initial investment. So, just to give examples of what I'm saying is the common example that's used in entrepreneurship is, Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak from the founding of Apple Computer. And we say, wow. They founded Apple Computer, and they founded it in their parents' garage, and that's sort of a kind of a bootstrapping approach. But we sort of think, if we think about that story, who provided the garage? It was the parents at the initial outset of the firm, and we see that again and again in the founding of great firms. When we think about entrepreneurship, there's this familial, what I call a familial sub-narrative, that underlies the major story, and that we need to sort of understand a little bit better.
Thank you very much, Lloyd.
You're welcome, Cheryl.
That was Dr. Lloyd Steyer, a professor in Strategic Management Organization at the University of Alberta School of Business. He holds a chair in Family Enterprise and Entrepreneurship. I also spoke with Jay Chrysler of Tech Edmonton. The lectures for the Venture Prize Business Plan Competition begin on October 26th, with the deadline for submission of business plans being January 31st, 2006. And you can register for the competition online at ventureprize.com. That brings Innovation Alberta to a close for this week. The interviews you heard during this program are posted as audio files and as written transcripts on our website at innovationalberta.com. And you can keep up to date on technology and research events by subscribing to our weekly newsletter, Innovation Alberta Online. Innovation Alberta is sponsored by the Alberta Research Council, Calgary Technologies, Inc., Alberta Gaming Research Institute, the University of Lethbridge, Alberta Innovation and Science, Alberta Ingenuity, the Sustainable Forest Management Network, ICOR, the Informatics Circle of Research Excellence, the Alberta Conservation Association, Japan Canada Oil Sands Limited, Science Alberta Foundation, Ducks Unlimited Canada, and the NSERC ACR Integrated Landscape Management Research Chair. Innovation Alberta is mixed at Riverdale Recorders and is a Porcupine Stone production. I'm Cheryl Croucher.